And this morning you're going to be very blessed as Pastor Helen comes up and shares a message of encouragement. And I just want you to, this morning, for the next 25, 30 or so minutes, just to be really attentive to what God is saying to you. And say, Lord, what are you saying to me this morning as you hear this word? So let's put our hands together as we invite Pastor Helen up.
Good morning, everyone. It's true what Pastor Stephen said. We need to encourage our men. Us women, we want strong men. Well, I do. I still want a man that opens my door and treats me like his princess. But not afraid to do the dishes or hang the washing out. And he does do that, I have to say. I got a keeper. Good morning, church. How are we? Good, good. I just want to really thank Pastor Stephen and Unami for just giving me this opportunity to speak with you. But first of all, I just want to pray, okay? Father, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for just your presence here this morning. Lord, and I thank you for what you've done in our hearts. And Lord, I just pray that you just, Lord, as these words come, Lord, I just pray that they'll be your words. Your words, and Lord, those that need to hear them will hear. And those things that are not of you, Lord, I just ask that you just let them just fall. But Lord, we just ask that you are our King, you are our Savior. And we love you, Lord, and we want you to have all the glory. Amen. So, what happened 3 Sundays ago? Does anyone know? Jesus rose, that's right. He still is. So the title of my message this morning is But We Had Hoped. I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but my main scripture comes from Luke 24, verse 13 to 35. And there is a line in there that says, when they meet Jesus, Cleopas and his friend said, "We had hoped." These two men, right, they had walked with Jesus. They knew him. They had seen the miracles. But after the resurrection, after Jesus had died, they left Jerusalem discouraged. All that Jesus had said, they had wondered, where was it? Where was their Messiah? Where was their King? And as they walked on that road, they were very discouraged and disappointed. So disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despair, and death. All of these words sum up how Cleopas and his companion were feeling as they left Jerusalem and walked to Emmaus. They had left the downhearted and confused band of disciples who were afraid and bewildered over what had happened to Jesus on Good Friday. The two men, as they traveled along, were sad and disillusioned. The master that they had loved and followed had been horribly put to death, a cruel and degrading death on a cross. Crucifixion was what they did to the worst of criminals. Jesus had been made a public spectacle, exposed to the jeers of all who had passed by. But only a week before, do you know what had happened? Jesus had entered Jerusalem on a donkey, praised as a king. Everyone was like singing his praises. Excited crowds crowded the streets. They welcomed him with palm trees and shouted, "Hosanna." But now Jesus lay dead in a sealed tomb. Their hopes were dashed. The dream was over. You ever felt like that? It Even the report of the women that Christ's tomb was empty didn't raise their spirits. It actually only confused them even more. The two despondent disciples walked along the road to Emmaus, summing up the situation very neatly when they said, "We had hoped that he would be the one that was going to set Israel free." Human hope is a very fragile thing, and when it withers, it is difficult to revive. We need to note that there's a number of people who take their own lives because of despair and discouragement, have sucked the last bit of hope out of their lives. When someone you love and care for is overtaken by a serious illness, which goes on, and despair sets in, it almost becomes impossible to hope for recovery. You may even be afraid to hope because you believe that you couldn't cope with another letdown. Cleopas and his friend, "We had hoped." When disillusionment, depression, and defeat dominates our lives, Jesus walks with us just as he walked with the two men on the road to Emmaus. He points us to God's word of promise in the Bible that tells us again that we are God's dearly loved children and that he will stand by us through thick and thin. He turns our despair into hope. Now, the road to Emmaus is a symbol of Christian life. It's about ordinary despair and ordinary Monday morning drudgery. It's a story about meeting a stranger, hearing his words of comfort, sitting down at a table and sharing a meal. It enables us to see that the risen Lord gives hope and joy when all we see is disappointment, discouragement, and despair. It enables us to see the world not as a place of death, decay, and defeat, but a place of hope. The story about the walk to Emmaus is a story for everyday life. If you are walking the Emmaus road right now, or when you walk it in the future with those sad D's, disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despondency, depression, despair, let's remember that we're not walking alone. Many of God's people are faithful, caring, but yet deeply discouraged. Discouraged people lose their ability to dream for the future. Despair replaces joy. Fear replaces faith. Anxiety replaces prayer. Insecurity replaces confidence. Discouraged spouses give up on marriage. Discouraged parents give up on children. Discouraged leaders give up on people. But when people lose their hope, they lose their ability to dream for the future. They say it's almost impossible to be spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, or relationally healthy when we're discouraged. You know, we can live 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but not a single second without hope. You know, the road to Emmaus, it's actually, I looked it up, I'm just trying to find where I wrote it down. It's actually not on the map anywhere. So if you look on maps today, you cannot. There's no geographical location for Emmaus. But you know what? Emmaus can be any place that we're going. It's not a physical place, but it's actually like a heart place. A place where we get to when there's no hope. There's no future, we can't see a way out. There was a poll that showed that the presence of hope makes a person more successful and satisfied, more compassionate and willing to meet needs, physically healthier, holds to higher standards, more likely to assume leadership, have more satisfying relationships, be more productive and less affected by stress, and more likely to view God as loving and forgiving. Well, what does hope do? Hope liberates. Hope sets us free from our past, from our current situations, our expectations, past failures, bitterness, anger, security. It liberates us from that. Hope motivates. It helps us to bounce back. The difference between people who thrive and people who decline is not that they don't get knocked down. It's that they bounce back up. Every successful person has had to bounce back from discouraging circumstances, including every Bible hero. I mean, we know about Michael Jordan. We hear about all his successes. What we don't hear about sometimes is how many times he didn't make it. Edison, the light globe. You know, we take it for granted, light globes, but how many times did he fail? But you know what he did? He just kept on. What determines if people bounce back? People bounce back when they have hope. Hope looks at what can be instead of what is. Hope initiates. Hope sets you free to dream. Some world changers have great resources and some have nothing. They make a major impact because they share one thing, hope. Their hope sparks dreams that bring change. Corrie ten Boom. I don't know if everyone's heard of Corrie ten Boom. She hoped for freedom for Jews. She sacrificed and took them into her home at the cost and of her family. Martin Luther King hoped for freedom from discrimination. He had a dream. Malala Yousafzai had hoped for an education. She was an Afghanistani girl. They had a dream and hope helped them to achieve it. Hope activates. Hope is the fuel that makes the world a better place. You know, Cleopas and that when they met Jesus, once they saw him, you know what they did? They didn't stay in that place. They left straight away and went back to Jerusalem. They didn't stay. So hope looks at what can be instead of what it is. Hope looks at a future rather than just the past. Hope believes in future possibilities rather than resigning to current reality. Romans 15:4 says, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." The basis of Christian hope is found in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Greek word for hope in this passage is hypostasis. And Paul wrote in the book of Hebrews, faith is the hypostasis of things hoped for, which literally means that which underlies, what carries. Meaning our faith in Christ underlies our hope. The deeper our faith, the more difficult it is for hope to be overthrown and turned. Timothy Keller says, "You and I are unavoidably and irreducibly hope-based creatures. We are controlled by not by how we live, but what we think will happen later. Christian hope has to do with the ultimate future, not the immediate." How many times do we say, "I hope it happens," because we're believing that something, we're believing for what will be. Hope unleashes compassion like nothing else does. You know, this small band of discouraged disciples who received hope at Christ's resurrection, they took that faith to the entire world. They launched hospitals, the church, the early disciples, this is where we came from, the first hospitals, first public libraries, establishing universities, elevating workers and more. They became the world's first effective agents of hope. Who wants to be an effective agent of hope? I do. You know, Christ is our Saviour and he's the hope of the world. When our Emmaus road is filled with discouragement and despair, let's walk with Jesus. How do we move from disappointment and despair and discouragement to hope? Well, do you know what they did? They spent time with Jesus. That's what we have to do. If you're feeling down, if you're feeling discouraged, spend time in his word. Read it over you. Put it on. You can. We've got so much technology at our hands that we can. There's no excuse for us not to read. There's no excuse for us not to hear the word of God. Play it. You can actually play on the Bible app. You can actually have it read to you. Play it. Listen to it. Spend time in the word. That's what will change your situation. Don't go it alone. Disappointment is a lonely place. Discouragement is a lonely place. And when we're discouraged, the main thing, sometimes we just want to run away and hide. That's what they did. They left Jerusalem because they were discouraged. But the worst thing that we can do is go it alone. We need to be in fellowship with other people. We need to be in church. We need to be in connect groups. Don't do it on your own. These two guys, they met Jesus on the road. He read the scriptures to them. They knew. They had walked with him, so they knew. They knew what was happening. We know the word of God, but sometimes we still get affected by what's going on. We need to go back to what the word of God says about us, about our situation. He read the scriptures over them. He explained them. They spent time with him and that caused them to open their eyes and see. This morning, can I encourage you, whatever you're going through, and I know at the moment there are some people that are facing some challenges. I can't promise that everything's going to be okay, but I know that when we're walking with him hand in hand, the situation will not look as bad as it seems. You know, we have got elderly parents that are unwell. We've got family members that are facing major crisis. For some of us, it could be just the current financial situations. But let's look to Jesus. Oops. Let's look to Jesus. Who will be the one? Sorry about that. Good thing it's just water. But let's look to Jesus, because with him we can do all things. Through him we can accomplish anything. Through him he will rise and restore hope to us. I know a few years ago, you know, I went through a bit of a, you know, lack of hope does lead to depression. And I know that I had faced a couple of situations where I just thought that, you know, I don't think I can ever get out of this. Dreams that I thought were going to come to pass, it just kind of diminished. And I thought, okay, Lord, where are you? I did kind of start to go down that black hole, but I had people around me that checked in on me. They encouraged me. I stayed in church. I stayed connected with the family of God. I stayed in the word. That's what brought me out. My hope was restored. And, you know, God is such an amazing God that he does restore and he brings hope. 6 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that I would be where I am today. But I know that the Lord has restored and he's given me back that hope, that I know that I can do anything now. We are the carriers of that hope. It's not just in the Bible. It's not just for back then, but it's for today. We are the ambassadors of him, of Christ. We carry his hope. We're meant to be the ones that we should be walking around with the biggest smiles and the biggest passion for life. If we're walking around like miserable, sad, the weight of the world on our shoulders, like no hope, are people going to want to come in and know Jesus? We have to be the ones that bring that hope to them. And we do it by spending time with him and staying connected with each other. So, church, my challenge to you today is this. Are you a carrier of hope? And if you're not, what do you need to do to be that beacon? That people look at you and see, I want what they've got. But we had hoped. Do you know they changed? The two disciples, they changed. We've got that message of hope now that we can now take it to the world. And they went back. Imagine if every one of us grabbed a hold of that, what we could do. So this morning, I'm going to wrap up. This morning, if there's anyone here that would, they're just feeling, I'll get the band to come. And you're just feeling like a little bit lost. Like you're just not sure about situations and there's situations that you're facing. Could be family, could be friends, could be your work situation. I would love to pray for you. I'd love to have our team pray for you. You know, when God's on the situation, things always look different. So, band, I'll get you to play. And, you know, if you'd like to come forward for prayer, please do. We thank you. Let's just all be upstanding. If you'd like to go out to the cafe, please do. But if you'd like some prayer, come forward.
Remember those walls that we call sin and shame. They were like prisons. That